Welcome back, everybody, to another exciting episode of Cast to the Past, the time-traveling podcast where best friends get together to talk about old games in a new light. My name's Josh.
Moshi Moshi, I'm Tom.
Tom-san.
You're Josh-kun?
Yeah. And today we are going to be discussing Yakuza 0.
Right you are, Josh. This is the zeroth installment in the long-running Yakuza franchise, a series that I had no experience prior to it being recommended to us by friend of the show, Walgo Balgo. Have you ever played a Yakuza game before?
No, I just know that they were kind of over-the-top Grand Theft Auto-style game, and they've been around forever.
It's interesting that, arguably, it's to Sega's second biggest franchise, but yet it really hasn't hit in America the way it's hit over in Japan. And we can get into that, but let's just get that nitty gritty, that crunchy munchy out of the way. Okay, here I go. You ready?
Okay, yeah, tell me about the nitty gritty.
Yakuza, interestingly, that's what it's called here in America. Josh, do you know what a Yakuza is?
It's like the Japanese mafia, right?
Basically, yeah. So Yakuza, the franchise, is known by the name Ryu ga Gotoku in Japan, which means like a dragon, which I think is really interesting because the most recent game, which came out in 2020, in America, it's called Yakuza Like a Dragon. But by the standards of the Japanese release, it's Like a Dragon, Like a Dragon?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They most likely switched that name up. There's no way that they could print it like that. That's weird.
I know that. Yes. But I just thought it was funny. But Yakuza 0 was released in Japan on March 12th, 2015 on the PS3 and PS4. It was released worldwide on PlayStation consoles on January 24th, 2017. So a bit of time between its initial release and its worldwide release. It was, of course, later ported to Windows and Xbox. Basically, the entire Yakuza franchise is now playable via Xbox Game Pass, which is, Josh,
the best deal in gaming.
Hell yeah, it is. It was developed by Ryu ga Gotoku Studios, which is a Sega subsidiary, you may have noticed, named after the Japanese name of this franchise. And they've just been primarily dedicated to developing Yakuza games since Yakuza 5 in 2012 and published by Sega.
Don't you mean Sega?
Yes, the company that do what Nintendo don't. When's the first time you ever heard of a Yakuza game, Josh?
Oh, man. It was a long time ago. I do remember that, like, there was those two factions growing up. It's either you were a Grand Theft Auto person or you were a Yakuza person. Because it was, like, two different styles of crime syndicated games that came out.
Sure.
And I only ever knew of Yakuza by the name. I never saw it before. I never knew really what it was because I was a GTA guy.
So you're saying these factions existed in our hometown? Josh and I didn't go to the same high school, but we grew up in the same hometown. But you're saying kids over at that school were like, this side of the playground is for Yakuza kids and that side is for GTA kids?
Yeah. This is the mafia and that's the Yakuza side of the playground.
I'm actually shocked. I guess I'm really not giving any credit to our hometown, but again, like, this is a franchise that never really crossed over fully into America. It's almost a cult franchise in America.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, though, like, it's the same thing with Monster Hunter, right? Monster Hunter was always that, like, it was such a niche, you know, game and a franchise. But there was a loyal following. You know, you just had to find it. You had to go look for it, but it was there.
And then, as you've told me, Monster Hunter World is kind of the crossover game that brought it to more wider audiences. Is that still correct in your opinion?
100%.
Okay. So the game we're discussing today, Yakuza 0, it is a prequel. It is the Phantom Menace of the Yakuza franchise in that it tells the origins of two of the primary protagonists of the series, Kiryu and Majima. And, you know, before this game, this series had, you know, won awards. It had received consistently high ratings from Famitsu, the iconic Japanese gaming magazine. And something interesting, I read a PC Gamer story that talked about the fact that while Yakuza uses fictional names for the districts of Tokyo that it takes place in, this franchise always models its locations after real-world Japanese cities, and it's kind of led to a little, like, like tourism boom of people going to Tokyo, Osaka, and other cities to check out things that have been modeled into the game. So I thought it's a pretty interesting impact. You know, like I never went to like New York to check out Liberty City inspired stuff or anything. But,
right.
You know, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That is cool.
But Yakuza 0 is not set in the modern day. This game starts on December 9th, 1988, when you and I were just wee infants who never knew we would experience a Yakuza game, Josh. So what's the gameplay in Yakuza like? Yakuza 0, I should say.
It is a third-person, world-exploring, action RPG adventure game?
No, you're right to kind of
slash beat 'em up.
It doesn't fit in one box. Like you're right to kind of like not know, because I agree with you. Yeah, it does a lot of things. You explore, again, like we said, like it's a fictional district of Tokyo, and it's like I'd say what, like four or five city blocks in total?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a fair amount to check out. Not a ton of stores you can go into, but the ones you can, there's an interesting amount of things to see and do. Like, there's a lot of mini games you could do. You can play Mahjong, you can go bowling, you can sing karaoke. You can sing. So let me just ask real quick. What is the best mini game to do in this, and why is it karaoke?
Oh, it has to be karaoke. I think it's the reason that karaoke just is so amazing is because of what happens when you're singing. Like, you're in a music video, and like all the crazy weird stuff that happens, like you're ripping your clothes off and all kinds of weird stuff. It no matter what, is I will fight anybody who doesn't think that it's karaoke.
Absolutely. I did mean to actually like go into a shogi parlor in this. I haven't done it yet, but shogi is like this popular game that I've always kind of been interested in learning. I know it's included in the Clubhouse game series, and I kind of figured like, oh, I should play shogi in Yakuza. I can learn how to play it, but I'll get around to it at some point. But yeah, beyond exploring the city, sometimes you will encounter ruffians, hooligans, rival Yakuza members in the street, and that's when we get into the combat system. Josh, what's your opinion on the combat system?
It's like a mixture of like a fighting game with like a normal beat 'em up. It seems like it wants to be like part Mortal Kombat, part Dynasty Warriors.
That's actually an interesting combination. Yeah, there's multiple fighting styles you can take up between the two characters. Kiryu has three, Majima has three. And you can switch them on the fly, and they each have different like button combinations and combos that can increase the amount of money you'll earn from each fight. But I agree with you that it puts this emphasis on combos and timing and all this stuff, but you're also surrounded by opponents, and it's like, you gotta stay on your toes, make sure you don't get hit. Nothing was more frustrating for me than like when a perfect combo got broken because just some dude adjacent to me went, and just kind of like tap me on the shoulder. I was like, no.
It's that Arkham Asylum button combination. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you have the perfect combo going, and then all of a sudden you miss one block or something like that.
And then, as you said, the adventure side of it just plays into the fact that this game's really heavily steeped in this crime drama. So exploring the city plays into going towards finding your next mission to keep a story going, or sometimes finding side missions. And maybe this is a hot take, but I just want to say something. I think the side stories are the most entertaining and interesting part of this game.
Okay.
The ones that I discovered anyway. Just by walking around the city, you will bump into residents who need your help with a variety of things. Here's a couple of my favorites. At one point, you bump into a TV production crew whose producer didn't show up to work, so they need someone to be their producer, and you get roped into doing it. And through kind of like choice prompts, you can make like the right decision or the wrong decision, and the shoot can either go terribly or well, you know what I mean? And it's just really interesting, like bonding with these characters on their job, and they're like, wow, you're actually a really great producer. And your guy's like, yeah, that would be a fun job if I wasn't a murderous gangster, you know? There's another one where this little nerd on the street has one of those big 80s shoulder bag cell phones. He's like really impressed with it, but it keeps running out of battery, so you have to like help him and stop people from mugging him and everything. Like, I did that one. Okay. Yeah, probably the best one though is when you're playing Majima and you save a guy from being mugged who turns out to be like the secretary of commerce or something for the whole city, and he thinking about raising taxes, but he doesn't know what the common person wants. So you go and have a drink with him, and basically your character presumably sets the taxes for this entire district, or maybe this entire city, for decades to come, based off of him just like, I really don't know anything about taxes. And the guy's like, just tell me about things you buy. And I'm sitting here like, wow, I am potentially ruining people's lives for years to come. Side stories, I really loved them.
Yeah.
And I think it's time we just got to come to the main story and get it out there, Josh.
Let's talk about this, okay? Let's talk about the main story really quick. This is a game that takes place because a whole bunch of people want to buy an alley.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's it. Everyone's trying to buy the alley that the Wayne family died in.
He's honestly not joking, everybody. No, it's... How do I put this? The plot of this game centers around rival gangs trying to get a piece of real estate in the city that will more or less cement their control over being able to, you know, install all the clubs and bars and stuff they want and have a monopoly on all of it. But it's this one alleyway that is an anomaly. No one knows who owns it. And so it's a mystery. Each of the main characters you play are caught up in it in different ways. And... I didn't finish this game before we recorded.
I played about an hour and a half of this game.
Oh, oof, oof. Okay. All right. Well,
I told you when we first started doing this that this is definitely not a Josh game, right? And I tried to put so much time into this game. It is so long and drawn out. And it's just like, it was a grind just to watch the story of this game. There's probably a really great, you know, couple things inside this game, but I didn't, this was rough.
Now, please don't run away. Please don't run away because we do want to talk about this. And if you're a Yakuza fan, we're not saying we hated this game.
Mm-mm, no.
What I want to say to my end is just, I agree with what you were saying about it being drawn out, about pacing being an issue. Regular listeners will know that Josh likes to make fun of how much I like Red Dead Redemption 2, and he'll use this line of joking about saying, like, oh, in Red Dead, you can't do a mission without, oh, go ahead, what is it, Josh? What's your routine?
Well, it's like, you know, I'm going over here, I gotta ride my horse across town to go to the bar, but hold on a second, I gotta go ahead and pick up about three little flowers, and then while I'm catching those flowers over there, there's a barracuda. I gotta go and skin that barracuda, and I'm gonna need to skin him down, and I'm gonna need to make a new vest out of him, and then, oh, man, now I'm on the other side of the world. I didn't even make it to the other side of the town.
Now, Josh's completely incorrect take on Red Dead Redemption 2.
How many barracudas can you skin in Red Dead Redemption 2?
So while he is completely off about Red Dead Redemption, I was playing this game, and the jokes he made about Red Dead Redemption 2 are kind of the actual progression metrics of Yakuza 0. There is literally a mission in this game where you need to get info on what building to go to, and the only way you can get that info is if you buy 5 separate homeless guys beer that they want, but the beer is different varieties, like one wants champagne, one wants whiskey, one wants malt liquor, and you have to go to multiple convenience stores all around the district to get them, because it's like one drink per each store, and then go back and give each of the 5 guys their alcohol, all for only one of said homeless guys to actually have the info. That's the kind of, like, bullshit. And I said we were going to be nice to Yakuza, but I just want to get the big negative out of the way. Pacing in Yakuza I found very bad. And Josh, Red Dead doesn't do anything that atrocious. I just want to make clear with you.
No, it really was the pacing. Like, I was telling you when I was playing it, I was sending you screenshots, and I was like, I'm this far, and... just what is going on? Why is it taking forever for them to just say, you know, 2 little sentences? Why is it, you know, really long? And it's so over the top. And I get it. That's the world that this game is in. It is very exaggerated. And that's fine. But you got to do it in a way that still ropes the player in and makes them a part of that world. Not to the point where, like, this is B movie bad sometimes, like when it comes to the way they're talking and they're communicating with each other and the way that they're acting, and the comedy to it is good. I liked what I saw comedy wise. The side stories and stuff like that, I thought that was all great too. there's just, I think the pacing just knocked it off. I also, getting into it, the way that you control in the game, it's something that Sega and Capcom do with a lot of their franchises that I just don't like, where it seems like it's taken right out of an arcade title. They're a little bit more blockier. The camera's a little bit closer up behind them, but it seems like this should have been controlled on like a Sega Dreamcast. The way that they move, the way that they control, the way that they feel. Sega does it with the Yakuza franchise and some of their other games. Capcom does it with like the Dead Rising franchise. So it's really weird that like it does have that arcadey feel to it in a game that really shouldn't. But if that's what they're going for, they pulled it off.
No, I can agree with you that like controlling Kiryu or Majima around the city at points, I would get like caught on a garbage bin because he can't just navigate around it. I have to like, you know, finesse the stick around it, or bumping into people, even though I was clearly like, there's a little bit of clunkiness to how the characters control. And yeah, I get it. And like that kind of extends into the combat. As I was saying earlier, you know, you're surrounded by enemies in these little clustered off sections of the city to fight. And if you get caught on the environment, it can ruin a combo streak you've got going. The fighting also kind of gets tiring after a while. There's three different fighting styles and all that, but you don't...
You kind of set the favorite one.
Yeah, you do. And there just reaches a point where, like, you know, you're getting challenged to fights in the street so much that I just started running away from fights. I was like, I don't got time for this. I really don't.
But you need the money.
Right. Now, So I put a little more time into this than you did. I got to about 10 hours in and up to chapter 7 within the story. So I saw a little bit more of what this was going for. And, you know, I think there is a really great movie or TV drama in this. You know, this is like a Chinatown or, you know, Who Framed Roger Rabbit-esque real estate drama. There's great movies made out of like people fighting over land because land's valuable. And I think this game starts tapping into a lot of interesting things about economic power, personal power. The motivations of Majima and Kiryu are really clear and understandable. It's just like, as you said and as I said, there's just mechanics of this game that don't keep me focused on the story. Yeah. And it's kind of a bummer.
Now, I do know a good portion of the story. I would love to talk about the story and I would love to talk about the names. I don't want to come off insensitive or rude or anything like that, but I can't pronounce any of these people's names.
I don't think it'd be right for us to continue, but what I wanted to do is something I pitched to you when I realized this is the situation we were going to run into. I thought we could talk about some major games that in our lives we have put down and never finished and kind of discuss why. And I hope you, the listeners, will be interested in this. Again, please don't think that this is a rag on Yakuza episode. We just kind of want to talk about the fact that sometimes as gamers, our patience, our attention span, something takes us away from it.
Yeah, sometimes you need to sit the controller down, right?
Yeah.
It's one of those things. Is it just being burnt out or is it just that the game doesn't work for you?
Do you have any off the top of your head? I have a little list of a couple I could probably talk about. What do you want to go first?
Sure. Number one, Red Dead Redemption.
Okay. All right. So the first one, the 2010 installment.
Yes. Okay. I own that game more than I've purchased any game before in my entire life. Because I keep thinking, I'm going to go back to it. I'm going to go and do it. I'm going to play through this whole game. I know how this game ends. I can tell you probably every story beat into this game. But I want to play it. I want to experience myself. And I'm just like, this is not fun. It's not enjoyable. I don't care about these characters. I don't care about this world. I don't care about how this game controls because it wants me to do everything but what I want to do.
I don't truly understand that last point because that's a game that offers us an incredible amount of freedom.
That's the problem. Too much freedom. I want a story. I don't want freedom. I want a linear story.
Well, there is a linear story. See...
Because you gotta go and do all these super stupid side quests. Before.
No, you do not. There are no stranger side quests. The strangers who give you side quests in Red Dead. There is not a single one of them that is a barrier to the story. They're marked on the map with purple dots. Stories are on the map with yellow dots. You can do the whole story and never finish a stranger mission. Because the stranger missions are still acceptable post story. So, I mean, they're not tied together.
What about you?
Well, one a small one before I get to some of my big ones. I just want to mention Titanfall.
Oh, you can't really beat that.
Well, that's the thing. Here's the thing. Titanfall made the stupid decision to, like, have its story narrative play out in multiplayer matches. Like, there's no single-player campaign because you play the campaign with other people in multiplayer rounds. And I remember I bought that, and there's 10 chapters, and I got through all 9 chapters in the server party I was matchmade into. And then right as we were going into the final one, chapter 10, I lost connection. And then I could never get the matchmaking system to put me into a chapter 10 group again. I was always in some random assortment of 1 to 9. And so I walked away from that. I haven't played Titanfall 2 yet, despite the fact that I've seen you play it for a little bit. I know the amount of critical acclaim behind it. I truly do want to play Titanfall 2. But that was a thing where, like, a game's design choices made me walk away from all of it. I traded that in, and even though I was enjoying the multiplayer, I was just like,
yeah,
I can't support a game that does shenanigans like this. So I bailed on Titanfall. What about another one from you, Josh?
Metroid Prime.
Ooh, Pat Nat would be upset to hear that. What? Tell me about that.
I love the idea. I love the gameplay. I love the world. I love Metroid itself. But once it incorporated the whole scanning mechanic to it, that just turned me off. The fact that in order to get the true ending, in order to get the complete ending, you need to scan every single thing in this game. And I don't care. Give me the good Metroid story. I don't want these extra mechanics because it's the same thing that I always complain about. Nintendo gives you what you want. However, right, we're going to get a first person Metroid game set in the world of Metroid. And it's going to be its own new story. However, you're going to have this feature to it. And I can't play. I want to play that game. I just can't because of the scanning mechanics. I don't like it.
Can I ask you a question, Josh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have, in the course of our friendship and in the course of the show, you would say you don't really like collect-a-thon games.
No.
I think it's interesting, considering how much of an avid collector you are of video games in real life and Pokemon cards and other things, that you don't like games based around collecting. Because, like, at Metroid Prime's case, the scanning option is, you know, an info collection thing on the world and the lore. Is there anything you can tell me about that?
I just think it's interesting. Tiring.
Okay.
It really is. It's okay. Tiring, and sometimes it's not worth the hunt. There's been a lot of times where you go ahead and you finish a game to 100% completion, and what do you get? An alternative title screen. Great. Thank you. That's what I put all this time and effort into. Oh, a gold star next to my user icon. Thank you. That's what I needed. Like, no.
So what, in your opinion, are the best completion rewards that games have to offer?
That's a really good question, and I don't have an answer for that right now.
Okay, we'll come back to it. But if you think about it before the end of the episode, let me know. Or maybe this can be a future bit. I don't know, but we'll think about it. So while you're thinking, I'm going to bring up another one for me. Okay. Grand Theft Auto 4. Now, GTA 4 is a game that I had to, like you said with Red Dead, I had to take, like, 2 or 3 times to really try to get into it. Because the first time I played it, I hated the new mechanics for, like, gunplay and driving. I felt that they were too stiff and realistic, and I really, you know, fell in love with the GTA PlayStation 2 era games because of how cartoony and just loose they felt. And I felt like there was a lot of kind of player customization in that, you know, like, you could do things more your way than the way a friend would play GTA. But, you know, if you try to screw around with the cars too much in GTA 4, it's just like, nope, you're supposed to drive this like a real car, otherwise you're gonna have a bad time.
Yeah, I always never completed GTA 4.
Yeah,
that's a good one there. I don't think I haven't heard really a lot of people who've ever completed GTA 4.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, I sat down at one point in college and I got really deep into it. And I think what made me quit just was, you know, we've talked a bit about kind of like post 9/11 gaming, where as the entertainment and the world got more grim and serious, you know, like, superheroes started getting, they had to be grounded and gritty. Video games took that route as well. And GTA 4 just wasn't really fun. You know,
yeah.
Grand Theft Auto 3, yeah. even though that's the most quote-unquote realistic previous one, it still had a sense of humor to it. Vice City is just pure 80s cheese. And San Andreas, while it does tell like a really interesting, almost like family drama story about CJ and the people he grew up with, you know, and how they've changed, there's still like a sense of humor there. But in 4, it's all like just like, I'm a horrible person who was involved in human slave trading and, oh, the dark sins of my past are catching up. And it's just like, oh, this is so dour. I don't want to finish this game.
Going back to it, I would say probably one of the best completion things.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Was the deity mask in Majora's Mask.
Okay. Yeah.
That gives you a reason to do the notebook. That gave you something to look into. And it was a very rewarding completion.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. The deity mask is on the level of something else, and this something else is not a 100% completion thing, but the rhino in Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
That and the deity mask are kind of similar in my book, because it's like, here's an endgame weapon or ability you get that, you know, makes the final challenges a little too, quote-unquote, too easy, because the weapons are overpowered, but also it's a reward for you doing all the work beforehand. So I agree.
It's like, listen, you've put your time into it. You've done everything you need to do. This is us scratching your back now.
I love that. I love that. So with that, what's your next game that you walked away from?
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Wow, really?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I've not played all of it. I played about an hour of it at a friend's house and got really into it. Been always meaning to go back. What turned you off of it?
Nothing really turned me off. It's just, you know, I found love in the right place. And that was on the Nintendo Switch a month later. And I never looked back.
Of course, referring to Breath of the Wild. Yeah, no game that came out in that time period fared well because of Breath of the Wild.
And I feel so bad because Horizon 2 is going to be coming out, and so is Breath of the Wild 2. And I'm like, oh my god, they do it again.
Oh my gosh, yeah, they're both slated for next year. We have to come back. We have to double check this episode when they both come out and make sure that this doesn't happen again. Poor Aloy. Poor Aloy. A recent game that I just walked away from completely was the Xbox exclusive launch title, The Falconer.
Oh!
I played about an hour of that and put it down, and I'll tell you why. I'm not saying it's a bad game, but it's one of those games that immediately front-loads you with, like, the lore of its universe, but it doesn't do it in a digestible way. Like, whenever you're coming into a big, brand-new, fantastical universe that has its own rules and gods and history and laws and everything, I feel like you have to like either have some kind of surrogate character for the player or just a more streamlined introduction. But the Falconer just throws you right into the deep end, and it's like, the Baron of the Castle Hawk is being attacked by airships from the Northern Empire's financial district, and you, a common soldier lieutenant, must... And I'm like, whoa, what? Like, just from there, all the intro stuff, all the chapter one stuff is just so heavy and crap I can't understand that I'm like, what am I playing for? Like, what?
Yeah.
What am I in this adventure for? And I just kind of was like, eh, this is just Star Fox on birds anyway. I'll go play Star Fox.
Another one that's on my list here, Dark Souls 2.
Yeah, that's surprising because you're a big Soulsborne guy. So why is that one the odd one out?
So it's the one that everyone says, oh, it's the worst of all of them. It's the worst of all of them. Don't play it, right? So I went in and I was like, I got to try it. I beat 1, I beat 3, I beat Bloodborne. I got to try this. I beat Demon Souls. And I went in and it just feels different. It doesn't have the same style. And I know Miyazaki really didn't have anything to do with this game. And it's a different group that worked on it. And they did their best with what they could with the world. But it just didn't click the same way that the other games did. And I don't know. I just, after playing it for a couple hours, I was like, I'm not having fun with this. And I can't understand why. And I really do think it's because there's not the same love and passion that was put into it. It honestly feels, the best way to describe this is it feels like a Disney straight to VHS movie.
Oof. It's the Return of Jafar of the Soulsborne franchise is what you're saying.
It's The Little Mermaid 2. Yes.
Little Mermaid 2, Return to the Sea? What? With Ursula's crazy sister? God, what a piece of shit. Okay. Well, now I have the context for that. Thank you, Josh. Thank you. So the next one I'll bring up is Pokemon Let's Go Eevee. It's the game that kind of made me realize I am so done with the Kanto region. I don't care anymore. I don't care about Gary. I don't care about the three base starters. I don't care about the just Team Rocket. Like, I think Kanto has been run into the ground by the Pokemon Company. You know, the fact that, like, we can't have a game where Charizard does not feature prominently. I get Pikachu is the one they went all in on the mascot, so Pikachu's got to be in every game. I got Let's Go Eevee, and it's the combination of, like, the Pokemon Go mechanics that I don't feel really gel well with a mainline adventure. And just, like, replaying it, I was just like, I've done this so many times. I need my Pokemon adventures to be fresher. A year later, Sword and Shield, it wasn't the freshest, but, you know, it was different. And I think I'm tired of Kanto, personally. I don't know if that's blasphemous to you, but what do you think?
Pokemon X and Y was on my list.
Wow. Okay, go ahead.
That was the first time I realized I'm just playing the same game over and over again now. Where they changed the story up a little bit for each of the Pokemon to make it, unique to the world or to the island itself. After coming off of playing Diamond, Platinum, and Pearl, I didn't need to play another game in that franchise. Right? They went and they knocked it out of the park with Heart Gold and Soul Silver, and then they put the nail in the coffin with Diamond, Platinum, and Pearl, and that was it. You could have just ended it there.
Interesting. Okay.
And that one came out. It was based in Paris, which, yes, whatever, cool. I just wasn't a huge fan of that world. And I just was thinking to myself that this is the same game over and over again now. Like, I think it was the time I finally, like, just grew out of Pokemon.
Okay. Yeah. There's certain breaking points with any long-running franchises. I think the fact that a couple of each of our choices have been, you know, like, at this point in this franchise, I just tapped out, you know. It happens. You get fatigue if things aren't unique enough, title to title. Mm-hmm. I hope that, for whatever this was worth, this gave you some insight into what can cause Josh and I to not finish a game. We don't like doing this. I think this is only maybe the second time in the history of the show where we didn't finish a game, unless Josh has hidden other examples from me. The one that I know is Boy and His Blob. I admitted to just being like, no.
Oh, I beat that.
Well, I didn't. Maybe I lied about it, but
there's one game that I didn't beat, but I'm not going to tell you guys that one.
He's going to make me guess. All right. Well, for, like I said, for what it's worth, it's we hit our recording deadline and neither of us were done with it. But it was like, nah, we committed to it. We don't have anything else we could talk about.
So here we go. Hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
Would you skip, play, beat, or master?
All right. We also have to explain this adjustment to the rating system. So, yes. Josh, as you heard, he just said four different options. Our previous was just skip, play, and complete. But after our Ocarina of Time episode, I kind of realized that when I was saying I was between play and complete, I was almost saying, like, you don't have to complete the story, but that's what I was recommending. Like, you should complete the story, but I was saying you don't have to 100% that game. So Josh recommended the solution. Skip it, as in don't bother. Play, as in try it a little bit. Beat it, as in, like, beat the story. Or complete, as in 100% it. So when it comes to Yakuza 0, I would honestly say to play this. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I would say to play it.
Yeah. I would encourage you to try a little harder to, since you probably don't have deadlines like we do, to go a little bit further and complete the story, as in beat it. We'll work this system out. But anyway, yeah, there's a lot to like here. I think the characters are all really well-rounded. I liked exploring the world. I liked what I got through the story. And as I said, the side missions, the side tales you get by helping random people on the streets, those are the most engaging parts of the game. I truly love those.
It is very over the top. It is, and it's very exaggerated. And honestly, when I was playing this, I was thinking of the movie Kung Fu Hustle.
Okay.
Just because of, not the fact that, like, they're similar to each other, but I'm talking about how overly exaggerated that movie was, how overly exaggerated this game can be with certain, like, cuts and stuff like that.
Gotcha. I forgot, I needed to mention one really big pro and one really big con of this game before we go. The pro is, I honestly really liked that this is not a game that lets you turn on English audio. You know, it's the whole subbed versus dubbed argument. I admired that all the cutscene audio, everything, is in Japanese, and you if you're an English player, you have to read along with it. Because I feel like it made the performances a lot more natural. You know, the conversations flowed a lot better. I can't imagine what this would sound like with an English audio track, personally. Do you have any takes on that, Josh?
No. I mean, I'm usually not a fan of dub stuff like that. And I, listen, respect it, because it's going to be a better story and you're going to have a lot more passion in the acting to it. So, yeah, I approve of that.
Okay.
And that's another thing, though, because, like, you figure, what, in order to beat this game, the game is, what, 40, 50 hours? That's a lot of reading.
Right. Might as well just pick up Duolingo and learn Japanese. But the big con, the big con I have about this is you cannot customize your outfit outside of the ones the game gives you until you get into New Game Plus. And that made me even angrier when I started being given outfits by that special clown guy at the shrines. He gives you a bunch of free stuff, and some of them are outfits. And I was like, I love in my Red Deads, in my GTAs, when I can wear, you know, goofy clothes or just customize my character. And it's like, nope, get to New Game Plus, and then you can do this. And I was like, boo, big con for me. Did you notice or care?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a play from both of us. Yakuza 0.
Yeah.
You should check it out.
Until next time, this has been Josh.
And I'm Tom.
And we'll see you in the future. While we boot up the Triflex capacitor, please take some time to subscribe to the show and leave us a review wherever you listen. This show is nothing without you, and any support helps.
If you want to connect with us and discuss the past, present, and future of gaming, please follow us on Twitter and Facebook.
We also have a Twitch channel where we play games for the show and for fun, so come chat with us anytime.
Thanks again for listening.
And we'll see you in the future.